Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Wonder Boy's in there to fight.
Look at this.
You gotta love it, folks.
Wow. Wonder Boy's still here, baby.
Steven Wonder Boy Thompson.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Yeah, when does it become Wonder Man? You can't be at 45, you can't still be Wonder Boy, could you?
I don't know, man. That's the thing. I talked to Jack Black with Tenacious D. He said he needs to come out with another song called Wonder Man. So we'll see. As long as I'm walking out to my fights to Tenacious D Wonder Boy, who may or may, he might be coming to my fight in Orlando.
You ever hear it, Timmy? Wonder Boy. You ever hear Wonder Boy by Tenacious D?
I don't know. I might have.
It goes like this, ready? Wonder Boy. Right or wrong?
That's right? Pretty good.
How does it go? Yeah, Wonder Boy. You heard it a million times. It's UFC Unfiltered karaoke. Wonder Boy, you'll walk out song. Go.
Oh my gosh. Now you put me on the spot. I don't know if I can do it now. I don't know. Wonder Boy. I can't do it now. I need my backup singer. Where are you at?
Jimmy, not as easy as it looks, huh, Jimmy? Wonder Boy.
Yeah, just listen to it. If you haven't heard it, go check out Tenacious D. It's Jack Black and Kyle Gass. Freaking phenomenal. They're in their 50s now. I think Kyle Gass is in his 60s, but I went to his concert about a month ago in Wilmington, North Carolina. Those guys freaking rock, man. They rock.
Did they sing that song? Did they sing
Wonder Boy? Oh, yeah. They sing a ton of songs.
What happened when they come when the Wonder Boy song comes on?
Whenever they actually sang Wonder Boy, they said, "Ladies and gentlemen, the Wonder Boy." And I came out on stage some shadow box. I did some kick and I did a backflip.
Are you serious?
Oh yeah, man. It was sick. It was sick. Go check out my Instagram. I've got it on there. Literally, me, Jack Black, hanging out, Kyle Gass, and my brother Sweet T. And it was freaking awesome.
That's amazing.
A Wonder Boy.
That was it.
So check it out. It's not a song that like fires you up before you go out there, but it puts a smile on my face when I walk out, right? Because if you're a Tenacious D fan, like, you know. So I put a toll, a poll out on social media. I think it was like my second fight in the UFC. What song I should walk out to. And everybody said Wonder Boy by Tenacious D. So that's what I've been doing ever since.
I'm not too familiar. I know who it is. It's Jack Black.
Jack Black. Yeah, he plays the voice of Panda, School of Rock. You know, he's played in the
King Kong
movies. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. King Kong. Excellent movie, by the way.
I enjoyed that a lot. Yeah. I got frightened. The way they shot that, watching the ape on the top of the building, the way when he's falling, you feel like you're going to fall. It was really great.
Oh, it was awesome. I love that version of King Kong, by the way. So, but he's playing a ton of movies, and he's literally in real life. He's just the coolest guy ever.
And you know, for the last line of that movie, the King Kong movie, I think Jack Black said it, 'twas beauty that killed the beast or whatever, but they tried to get the original Faye Ray was supposed to say it. The woman who was in the original King Kong, but she died right before they filmed it. Like I within a few months, I think, of when they were scheduled, but they had Faye Ray. They were going to have her give that last line.
So she had to have been in like in her 70s or 80s, right?
I would say more than that.
Really, in her 90s?
Faye gotcha. Ray. I'm going to look her up. I don't know. She was very, very fucking old. Let's see. Because King Kong was 1933.
Oh, yeah. Dude, she had to have been 100.
Hold on. How old was she when she died? I should probably.
Dude.
She was 98.
What?
96.
I can't imagine. Like, I would love to go back in time and just to see what it was like to live in the 30s or the roaring 20s, right? You know what I mean? You ever seen the movie The Great Gatsby?
Yeah, they were partying. They were partying.
Is that DiCaprio?
Yeah. I mean, it probably really wasn't like that, but watching that movie is like, bro, I'd be partying like crazy in the 20s.
If you could go back to any time in history, what time would it be?
Any time?
Not you don't have to stay there. Just to kind of visit.
I'd go back 2 days and look at the fucking Powerball numbers. That's what I was.
That's a big.
There's a few times.
That's a
big. I would like to see, like Egypt or Babylon, right? Like what it was like.
You know what I mean?
Like you go to these megalithic structures that are like the stone are like placed in perfect position. Like how did they, like we couldn't reenact that today. We couldn't lift those stones with the cranes that we have today. How did they freaking move them? You know what I mean?
That's funny.
I would like to go back and find out.
No, it's not that funny. Never mind, Jimmy.
You about to do a conspiracy theory?
No. I'm just thinking, like, what if you had one wish to go back and see how they were built, and you went back, and it's like, they're off this week. You're like, Jimmy,
there's something. Yeah, nobody's working this week.
You're like, wait, I just came to see.
That's funny. Yeah.
Tell me. I don't know.
How was y'all's weekend? How was the weekend? Did you have a good weekend?
What'd you do, Jimmy?
I just did sets at the Comedy Cellar.
Ooh, cool.
Uneventful weekend. I didn't do a whole lot. Still straightening out my apartment. Very, very uneventful.
Oh, wait. So you just moved into an apartment?
No, I had to complete the floors. I've been dealing with construction for a year. We had a little bit of mold. So by the time insurance covers it, the floors go, everything, it was a year. So everything's finally back in place.
Dude, you know me. I was at my school, Sarah BJJ. It's nice now because now my girl's a little older since, you know, one of the boys been in town and he's been to some birthday parties with my kids at Adventureland.
100%.
Yeah, he's been
How
around.
How old are they now?
Now they're 13, 11, and 9. So they're all training. So now I spend more time than ever down there and teach. Now I'm starting to become like you. I'm doing more kids classes than ever now that my kids are in there.
But I love it. Do you like teaching kids?
I do now. Maybe because my kids are in there and now I got used to all the kids and but when your own, I don't know, when your own kids are in there and you know how to bring them up, I don't teach all the classes, but I'll teach a bunch of them. And it's good because you know you're bringing them up right and you're making them dangerous. And when you see them pulling off stuff, it's like, and they do some stuff reminiscent of what I do, it's kind of gets a little misty in here, you know?
Yeah. It's good for
them. Are you proud? Really, Matt's a very proud dad.
It teaches them, you know, being uncomfortable and having to deal with it, right? Teaches them respect. Yes. It teaches them, you know, especially because a lot of people, most people, they've never been in situations like martial arts that you would in jiu-jitsu or MMA. They've never been in those situations, or, you know, they've never been punched in the mouth, or they've never been choked out, or so they sit there and just do this the entire time, and they can't do that. You know what I mean? If you've never been punched in the mouth, then you shouldn't be talking. You know what I mean? I wish that was a law. You were allowed to just check somebody every now and then.
Well, how do you take when you're like, they say that like when you've trained, like you guys have, you look at physical confrontation. I think Andre Fili was talking to us about that. Just the physical confrontation with an average person, you see much differently. It doesn't hold this mystery to you. Like for me, a fight is just this mystery. Like for you guys, you see it much differently.
Yeah,
in real life.
It might be different from you, Matt, because you are on the TRT.
What is that? Wait a minute. What does that have to do with anything? I'm confused.
I mean, I don't know if you rage out every now and then. I don't know if you got mad. No. I've seen a situation where I forgot where you were. I think you were in Vegas And you, I think as a martial artist, you keep such a clear head in stressful situations like that. You ended up taking the guy down. You held him down there. The guy couldn't harm anybody. I thought that was the coolest thing ever. I was messing with you a minute ago. But
well, listen, Wonderboy, I have witnesses. That wasn't a TRT roid rage. That guy was out of control.
No. I was just messing with you, but I see where how cool you kept yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you
took him down. I was just messing with you.
Well, I know. You're so funny, Wonderboy. Listen, the beautiful thing about jiu-jitsu, I would love to be able to spin it and put a heel wheel kick over somebody's head. First of all, I can't do that. My leg's not, I'm not doing it. But second of all, I could have ended that routine, that situation with a right hand easily, you know?
Oh, yeah.
The guy wasn't, you know, anything. But again, I hit him, his head hits the floor, the kid's a scar, getting
sued. Yeah, and you're sued.
Lesson. What I love about-
He sued you?
No.
If he had hurt the guy, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
So everything, it worked out great, ended up being a great advertisement for jiu-jitsu. And what I love about jiu-jitsu is, like when Jimmy, you were saying the mystery of a fight,
yeah,
really takes that away because you're so used to, like you just saw Master Enzo Gracie on a subway platform with a guy throw him in a headlock and throw him to the floor and Enzo get out and get on top in a matter of a second and reverse the situation and he held him down and made the guy apologize.
This really happened?
Yeah, you could see this. Jimmy seen it and it's on, I'm sure you can see it on YouTube or somewhere, and you just type in Enzo subway fight and it's recent. It's very recent.
One guy, he was getting off the train in a headlock.
Well, this is what happened. He was with his a couple of his black belt buddies, and he was talking to one of them, and they were talking in Portuguese. And this guy and his girlfriend made a reference, "You're in America, speak English," and they started like that. And then the guy threatened to hit him. And Enzo says, "You know,
you're in America. Enzo defended himself.
I don't know how much to get into detail." In case this guy pops off and
says, who the fuck, what kind of man hears Portuguese and decides to confront people?
Yeah.
Like, what a dummy.
Nice. But that's what's beautiful, a beautiful thing. So Enzo, Enzo's like the nicest guy. So he didn't choose that situation, just like I didn't choose that situation in the diner. But, I'll point to my youngest when I brought her to jiu-jitsu. My other two kids, my oldest, my middle, they were in dance since they could walk. My youngest, she never liked dance. She's a little different than them. I brought her down to jiu-jitsu. The first class, she got pushed down. She looked like a bird that fell out of a tree, timid. Looked like she's about to cry. Now, fast forward, Jimmy, watch the videos. She's taking arm locks. Her favorite part is going live. Okay. But anyway.
Well, she likes going live. What's that mean?
She loves rolling.
Live rolling.
Her, she's like the mayor of the place, talking to everybody socially. She's good. She's the confidence is something that you wouldn't believe it's the same girl.
And you like watching the fact that she's taken to it as well.
Yes, Jimmy, I got over it. So they get me in certain blasts. Because he knows when I get emotional, then he starts to be like, "Oh, do your eyes water up when you're watching me?" I know.
I do like to hear the details. Matt gives a quick detail, but it is interesting. Hey, I remember when they started.
Calvin Gator. Sorry.
Oh, no, go for it.
Doing that because Jimmy tries to get me emotional. First of all, before we talk about Calvin Gator and Arnold Allen, I should really start it off with. That guy's kid's amazing. And it's unfortunate the way that went.
Yeah, it's...
Really quick. Let's just talk about that real quick. I mean,
two fights almost the same way, by the way. The Phil Hawes fight, very similar.
Oh, wait.
Against Elidze.
Was it a low kick?
No, I'm just saying two leg injuries. That at first looked like they were going to be survivable and then turned out to not be survivable.
Yeah, but this one, Calvin just like kind of did a hop up and landed weird. Like, right? I mean, it was very awkward. Like, he did an awkward.
Yeah, it was different.
He landed very weird, and next thing you know, he blew out his leg or something.
Yeah.
And then when they kicked, it's so funny. When they did the kick, my wife was like, "Oh, that's low." I go, and then you watch the replay. The guy, Arnold, didn't even kick the leg that was hurt. He kicked the other leg. I go, "Nah, that's." Yeah. She goes, "Oh, I didn't see it like that." I go, "He's just the guy's leg's compromised, man." You know.
And he also when you knew he was hurt when in between rounds they're like, "How you doing?" He's like, "I don't know." They're like, "How's the leg?" He's like, I don't know.
I think he honestly didn't know. I think he
when your adrenaline's going and you're mid fight, you're like, you know, it's questionable. Like, not in a normal situation where it's hurt and you know that it's not good, but during the fight, your adrenaline's going. So you're like, I don't know. Like I feel pain down there, but I don't know if I can keep going or not. So let's try it. So did they end up stopping the fight there in the corner or did he?
Second round during the second, he went to step back again. He just fell and that was the end of it. Like they knew his leg was beyond.
Yeah. Arnold kicked him. Arnold kicked his lead leg and he went to like check it or step back with the right. And just the leg just gave out. So
any information on what actually happened? Was it an ACL tear? Was it a,
I don't know. Jake the Almighty. Why don't you look and see, and while we're looking that up, Jake, I'm watching and I just seen it just now. And I should have known prior. Like yesterday when I was supposed to look at the notes. Dude, you're fighting Kevin Holland.
Bro.
Yeah.
That's fucking huge, man. That's like, that's what do you think about when they say his
good
name?
Good fight.
First of all, it's a great fight. And second of all, we know the deal. Anybody and everybody in the UFC is fucking dangerous. You might as well fight somebody dangerous with a name. And Kevin Holland, although in fairness, he's not a Wonder Boy yet. I mean, come on, you've been around and let me tell you, but he's up there. His name's up there. People know Kevin Holland.
Yeah, he did very well in the 185 division. Who knocked out Jacare Souza from his back.
Yes.
So he was crushing guys at 185. He loses once, drops down to 170. He's been doing phenomenal job at 170. Beat Cowboy, a Brazilian Cowboy. Beat Tim Means. He lost to Hamzat. Of course, that whole switcheroo was kind of weird. But and then he retires, right? After that, he retires. And he comes back to fight me, main event, December 3rd in Orlando. And I think it's a great one because my last two fights, obviously I fought Gilbert Burns. It was exciting. But the Bilal Muhammad, I had two grapplers, guys that just kind of held me there. And then I wanted to kind of get a striker. And what better guy than Kevin Holland? The guy's like 6'3", 80, 81, maybe 81-inch reach, which is – that's going to be fun to navigate during the fight. It's the longest reach in the welterweight division, probably 185 division as well. So I'm definitely looking forward to this fight. It's going to be very interesting.
Why do, and it's such an easy thing to get in the arsenal and more people are using it, but nobody, and I mean nobody, uses a sidekick like you do, Wonderboy. If they do, I haven't seen it. Maybe they do in some karate competitions, but not in the fucking UFC. Your sidekick is so freaking money. It makes me almost as happy as a beautiful jiu-jitsu technique. I favor the jiu-jitsu. But fucking beautiful. Jimmy.
Beautiful. I wonder why more people don't use it. Why do you think it is?
Yeah.
Because I think it has to do with the stance that I'm in. I'm in a bladed stance. So it's easier for me to pick my leg up and use it more like a jab. If you're more of a boxing stance or a Muay Thai stance, right, which most MMA gyms, that's the standard they do, like more of a Dutch kickboxing, right? So I come from that karate background, and I'm in a bladed stance, which makes it easier for me to lift that lead leg. The other situation, like the boxing stance and the Muay Thai or the kickboxing, it's better, I guess, for power shots, not literally for lead leg kicks. So I use the sidekick. I mean, I can hurt you with it. I can keep you away with it. Like when I fought Rory McDonald, I was pumping him with that lead leg. Not a whole lot of power. It was kind of more of a pop, but it definitely throughout the fight, it was messing with him. Or I could knock you down with it like I did with Masvidal and Vicente Luque. But it's just confusing because I can disguise. I can make it look like a sidekick. I chamber it up the exact same way. So you don't know if I'm doing a hook kick or a round kick or a sidekick. So it's hard to figure out. You know what I mean? And hard to get to me. So I use it to keep my opponent at range.
Seems like so difficult. A hook kick always seems to me like such a hard thing to get momentum on. I'm like, how does anybody gain? How do you pick up any momentum on that kick? It just seems like an impossible kick.
The hook kick, it is different because most people, they feel like they have to get a tremendous amount of power in order for it to do damage. That's what they think. Well, when you're doing a hook kick, you're literally hitting with the hardest part of your leg, which is the bottom of or the back of the heel. So I've broken orbitals doing hook kicks on people. So you don't have to have a lot of power. You just have to have accuracy. So, which is not taught if you're doing MMA is accuracy. You know, when you first come into MMA, you're trying to learn the jiu-jitsu, the wrestling, the striking. So you're not really focused on the little minor details of the techniques that you're losing. You're just trying to learn it as fast as possible so you can strike. Well, for me, coming up in a traditional background, we did a lot of things as kids to develop the control, the accuracy, and the kicks. So I think that made a huge difference in why I'm known for my kicking. And I guess my foot placement. I can take literally my big toe, if I wanted to, I could put it in your eye or in your ear or in your nose or on the side of the head. I can put it anywhere.
That's the only place he's putting it, Jimmy. Jimmy, he was waiting where you were. Where else, Wonderboy? Where are you going to put that toe? Jimmy, this little toe, is Piggy's not going anywhere weird.
I don't want his little piggy anywhere near my stinky market.
Now, Jimmy, do you like, are you a foot guy?
No, you know what? I can be. If depends on the woman, but not really. No, you mean like a fetish guy? Not really. I've had moments with it, but it's more like when I run out of body parts. Like, you know what I mean? It's more like just fetish gone crazy. But I'm not really a foot guy.
You know, I didn't even know this, and I didn't even know that you can make a ton of money off of it. But somebody had come to me and was like, "Yo, Wonderboy, you know you have your own Wiki Feet page." I'm like, "What? What is Wiki Feet?" So it's a page that you can go to. You heard of Wiki Feet?
Oh, yeah. Every celebrity's on there.
And I went, and I've got a whole page of nothing but my, because most of my Instagram pictures, I'm barefoot. You know, I'm teaching karate classes, sure. Sitting there barefoot. And they zoom in on my feet, and I've got millions of people looking at my feet. I'm like, where's my cut, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't know you can make that it was that big of a thing. So you never know. You might see more of my feet out there.
Yeah, you start an OnlyFans and sell your feet to people. I've had moments of fetish with it, but overall, it's not my thing. It really does depend on the energy with the woman, whatever energy I have.
I think it's fair to say Jimmy whacked off on some feet in his day.
I have, Matt, but not as much as you'd think.
Yeah.
Not as many toes as you'd think.
Well, my feet are kind of weird because I've got these massive gaps between my toes. You see the gaps?
Yes. Now, is that good for kicking or bad? Or does it not?
It's great.
He'll do Three Stooges with you. He'll take both your eyes out with that. Oh, what?
they say that's what they say about your feet. They should be, like, your toes should be spread apart. That's because people wear shoes all the time. I can't wear shoes for a long period of time. It hurts my feet.
For balance.
Because I'm barefoot a lot. So my feet are spread out. They're wider than most. So I got these Tarzan feet. And I think it is better for my movement. I think maybe it has a lot to do with why I move around a lot as well and okay at it. Still getting better, but I don't know.
That's a good point. Your movement. Oh, sorry, Kevin.
Oh, it's nothing important at all. You're talking about his movement. I was going to say there's times where people pointed out, like in a picture where my toes are like fucking daggers and I didn't fucking flip them. They're like, oh, what the fuck's going on down there, Sarah? I slice somebody's Achilles off with that shit. Anyway, that's all I was going to say.
Matt, you got bunions?
No, I don't. What exactly is a bunion?
It's like an elbow. It's like an elbow bone that sticks out of the side of the foot. It looks like your foot is an elbow.
Yeah, it's where like you maybe something wrong with you. Maybe I think it has to do with somebody that wears shoes a lot and the big toe kind of angles in. You got this knuckle that sticks out. So I heard it's pretty painful. I don't know.
They look, people, they operate on them, yeah.
I very rarely wear shoes. I'm like you, Wonderboy. I slip on my, like, Adidas sneakers. I fucking just slip on, like, slippers. Otherwise, I'm in my gi pants. I'm chilling.
Me too. I'm wearing my slides, and that's about it. Slides.
Yeah, Jimmy's slides. Not even wearing anything right now.
You're not even
I wear socks. Jimmy. I'm a big sock guy, yeah. No, I always wear shoes when I go out, but I prefer being barefoot in the house. Your movement too, by the way, before I forget, you see a lot of little Wonder Boys, like a lot of guys who you can see had some influence. Who do you think moves the closest to the way you move? Is there a fighter that you go, hey, that guy moves the way I move?
One thing, and Chris Weidman will attest to this, that kind of was a pet peeve of mine in the beginning was when people were talking about Sage Northcutt being Wonder Boy 2.0. And I was like, wait a second. Number one, he's not Wonderboy 2.0. All right. He may fight like me, but he's not Wonderboy. And Chris used to make fun of me all the time. He's like, are you mad, Steven? Are you mad that they're calling you know, he's Wonderboy 2.0? But it really didn't upset me. But I don't know. There's a lot of guys out there right now that kind of have a karate style. Like Conor McGregor did have a karate style, kind of got away from it, more of a boxing stance. I think that's why he ended up losing the last fight, because he was stationary. When he fought Jose Aldo, the classic Conor McGregor, he had more of a karate style, that in and out movement, the bladed stance. Let me see. Izzy Adesanya's got really good striking. I think he's very similar. Like, I love watching him fight because he's got some finesse to it. But I'm trying to think. There's really not a whole lot of guys. Gunnar Nelson has like but he uses it more to close the gap to get it to get in a clinch situation and end up to take his opponent down. But as of right now, I don't know. Robert Whittaker has a style, party style. He's got great stand up. But as of right now, man, I don't see anybody.
I've seen some young fighters that I thought like, that guy. Yeah. But again, it could just be a karate influence. But I always associate it with you. Yeah. What do you think of Pereira and Adesanya on November 12th?
Oh, man, I think it's going to be a phenomenal fight. I actually did a breakdown on my YouTube channel about these guys. The first time that they fought, I watched the fights and I broke them down. The first times that they fought, it was some Chinese promotion. I'm not really sure which one it was, but I had Izzy winning that fight. Pereira ended up winning, but I had Izzy winning that fight.
You thought he won, okay.
I don't know why. That was fight one. Izzy won it in my eyes, but they gave it to Pereira. And then the second fight, Izzy was winning it until he just got knocked out, until he wasn't, right? It brings me back to when I fought Pettis. I was winning the fight. I was beating him until I just got caught. So for this fight, it's a different element because there's more than just stand up. Like, there's more things that you can play around with and confuse your partner with. You could fake a takedown. You could use the cage to control your opponent. So there's a little bit, there's more, variety that you could use out there during the fight. But I think Pereira is the bigger of the two. I think he's got more power, but I think Izzy's got more finesse. I think it's going to be Izzy all day.
Oh, okay. Do you think, is there any psychological, because he's lost to him twice. And I know you guys have both had fighters that you lost to once and then you get a rematch. But when you, Matt, you won, you beat GSP the first time. But like, I'm thinking of you and Woodley. Right. Is there an advantage to someone psychologically beating you twice and then the third time? That's much different than winning once. You think there's a psychological advantage or does he come about it any different because he knows he's fighting a guy who's beating him twice?
I think if you have that mindset, but Izzy's mindset is like, it's so up here. Like, he's not even thinking about those last. I don't even think he thinks those last two fights even existed in his head. Right? He's champ. Yeah, some people call him arrogant, but I think it's just a mindset that you have to put yourself in if you're up at that level. I don't think he's even thinking about it. I think he's going at it like it's a brand new opponent. It's been years since they faced each other and both have gotten better since then. It's just the thing is, like, you know, if I watched both of those guys, if I was watching Pereira, I would just say, watch out for his left hook. He drops everybody. He takes everybody out with that left hook.
Yeah.
So, and Izzy, I think he's got more in his arsenal. He's got better feints. I think his leg kicking ability, I think he's a longer fighter. I think he's faster. And I just think he's got more in his arsenal for this fight. So I'm going for my man, Izzy. What about you guys?
Yeah, but I mean, Jimmy, your thing is, like, what you're asking as far as, well, he beat him twice. Wonderboy, when you first answered when you had your thoughts on it, that's the correct answer right there, where it's all how those fights went. It's not like he got his ass handed to him twice. He was arguably won the first fight, which I hear from everybody. So there's that. So in his mind, I didn't lose that fight. And the other fight, I was winning till I slipped up. So he's not going into this like, dude, this guy fucked me up twice. No, he's going, he got gifted a decision and he fucking caught me and that's it. So in his mind, he didn't show, study, because when you hear when Sean Strickland at the press conference, it's kind of funny, was talking, he started to shit saying, this guy slept this guy. And he was, did you watch the fights? So he knows, he's well aware.
Yeah.
That he was well aware that he wasn't outclassed in there. You know what I mean?
Right.
Big difference between outclassed and getting caught.
That's right. They're a huge difference. And I think Izzy's the type of guy to be like, all right, there's nobody else for me to fight. I really beat everybody in the top 5 or 10 or whatever. And they're rushing this guy up to fight. Be like, this guy's not even ready. He's not even ready to face me right now. He's had 3 fights in the UFC, I think, 3. So if it was me, I'd be like, this guy ain't even ready. I'm going to go out there and school this guy. And that's the mindset I think Izzy probably has going into this fight. This guy should not even be out there with me. He's not going to take the guy lightly because he's champ. No. But if it was me, I'd be like, this guy ain't ready. They're bringing him up too soon. And I'm going to show him that he ain't ready. There's levels to it.
The fact that he beat him twice is a selling point for the fight. So there's that too. That actually, I'm sure Adesanya likes that. The fact that's something that will get people to watch because he's been so dominant. It's like, hey, here's finally a guy who knows what it's like to beat him. Let's see what happens
right
here.
Right.
That might be a tremendous selling point for the fight.
And you think, I decided to stop. Square Garden, man. I tried to get on that card on that, but it ended up not happening with Kevin Holland. So, you know, that's all right. A few weeks later, we'll be ready to rock and roll. We got what? 5 weeks, 5 weeks up until then.
Now, what card are you on exactly? You're December 3rd.
What's It's a fight night. It's not a pay-per-view card. So, but I'm gonna be there.
I'm gonna be there.
Let's go.
I'm gonna be with the family. We're doing a Florida thing, and I happen to be doing a looking for a fight. And they're like, "Yo, we're doing a looking for a fight. We're doing it in Florida." I go, "Oh, what a coinkadink! It's gonna be great.
Coinkadink.
Oh, it's gonna be so much fun, Jimmy. I'm excited."
Let's go. I mean, you got RDA on the card. You have Barbarina. You got Derek Brunson on the card. Chuivasa's on the card. You got Clay Guida's on the card. You got, man, Eric Anders. You got it's a big card, man. It's a good card.
Yeah, that's an incredible card.
It just makes me want to say Wonder Boy.
I think you should sing it as I come out, Matt.
Oh, watch you turn around and go right back in.
You don't got to give me karaoke. A I'll fucking do that in a heartbeat.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Are you dressing up today, Steven?
Am I dressing up today? I think so. I have my Street Fighter outfit.
Ooh!
Doing a Street Fighter gig, yeah.
Ken.
Ken, yes, you are correct. Correctamundo, Matt Serra. So are you staying with the Wolverine outfit? That's what you're going as.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Monster Matt Serra.
Were you thinking that I was wearing the bat suit right now? No.
No.
That's TRT. Kimura Savage. Listen,
TRT.
Hey, speaking of fucking Ninja Turtles, which character in Street Fighter are you going to be? Which one? Ryu?
So I'm going to be Ken. I'm going to be Ken for sure.
That makes, you could also be Guile with the fucking, but that might, bro. But that might be a little bit false valor, because he's all.
Stolen Valor.
That's what I
said. Stolen Valor.
I was going to say.
Borrowed Valor. I borrowed.
So Guile has the flat. I think I could do a better flat top than I could, because Ken has long hair. He's got long hair.
His name is Ken or Ken?
Ken. K-E-N.
Oh, Ken. Okay.
Don't you, Jimmy.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with it at all.
Really?
Really. I did a pretty cool. I was at TwitchCon in California a few weeks back, and I was at the Street Fighter booth, and I they had the new Street Fighter game that just came out. It's literally 40 years from today that they, I think it was like 87 that they started. So it's pretty close to 40 for his like 30 something years. Really? But Ken and Ryu are in their 40s right now, like in the video game. So I got to do some of their cool moves live. I had it on my Instagram. They would do some of the moves and I would try to do the exact same move. So it was pretty cool. So I got to learn the history of Street Fighter.
So are you big on Twitch? Like, do you do it a lot?
No, I did. I was pretty big on Twitch. I was on there like two to three times a week. But then it got to the point to where like I had to do it. You know what I mean? So it became like another job. So
it's a job,
like,
yeah.
I didn't want it to be, I love playing video games. I've been playing video games since day one. I mean, Atari, right? You had Atari? You had one of those?
I had one, yeah. I had
every system, literally all the PlayStation, Xbox.
He started with Pong. He started with the Pong thing.
Oh, yeah, Pong.
I was an arcade kid when I was in like the 80s. When you guys were both very young, if not even born, I was in the arcades. And then when Atari, and then it went to Intellivision. Did you ever have Intellivision?
I did not have Intellivision. That sounds
that legit. Was a weird controller. It was like it was like a circle thing that you'd press. It was really difficult to control. Yeah, Intellivision was not great.
Can I
mention? But
go ahead.
So you know, I literally had like every system. So I love playing video games. It's kind of like a way for me to kind of get away from everything, right? I'm
sure.
At school, I'm training, I got a fight coming up, let's play video games. And a lot of fighters do that, like Wybe, and I'll play with Wybe, and I'll play with Stipe, a lot of these other guys, but it became a job and I didn't want it to become something like that. You know what I mean? That's so hilarious. I will do it every now and then.
Do you ever miss it though? Like sometimes like the pandemic, we all did stuff and people have kind of stopped subscribing as much, but then you're like, shit, am I just throwing out money for doing something that I like doing? And it's hard to get it back once it's gone.
Well, I think people come about it at first because they're seeing these guys like Tim the Tap Man, Nip Mercs, Dr. Disrespect. And these guys are making bank, like millions of dollars, and they just play video games all day. They will literally play from 7 a.m., 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, probably 7-hour days. They'll start early and they'll be done by, I don't know, 1 o'clock. And then
they got the skills.
Go check out Dr. Disrespect.
They pay the bills. He's my guy.
What? Skills to pay the bills.
They do. I mean, if they were just playing video games all day and were fucking getting killed like a noob all day,
yeah, that's me. That was me, 100%. I just died.
Oh, you weren't that great.
You no, I have to play with good guys. So I have two guys that I train with, and they're freaking amazing. So I surround myself with good players, so it makes me seem good.
I don't. I play. I told you already. I play VR. I play Population One. In VR,
I've played Population One.
Can I just tell you how good it is? You know who Mike Fowler is? Mike Fowler, he's an old.
I think so. Yeah, the name sounds familiar.
He's an old school jiu-jitsu guy, even though he's younger than me. He was under like Lloyd Irving and them. He used to have like.
Okay.
He's good. He's in Hawaii, right? So I'm running around that fucking thing, murking people, and I see him in there. And we're in, I'm like, hey, Mike. It's this Mike Fowler BJJ above his shit.
What?
I go, and the guy's in Hawaii. So it's so funny. So I run into him like in the metaverse, and now we go on missions a lot. But anyway,
dude, that's cool.
The point is this: I'm not on Twitch, but I do it for the love of it.
That's right. You have to.
Matt, you should be on. You should be on. People would love you. You'd make money, and you would enjoy it.
I make like I'm too lazy. I'm just too busy.
Yeah, no.
You
had
the brand new Oculus, or what? Which Oculus?
I have Oculus Quest 2, but there's a brand new one that just came out, right?
Yeah. Because I know I saw Dana had just did something. The new one just came out, and you can watch like fights in the metaverse now. You can watch fights on Fight Pass. With VR, like you're actually in the
Fuck. Wait a minute. Now, is that the Oculus Quest 2 or is that, 'cause that's the one I got?
No, it's a newer one. It's a newer one. Is that proper English?
Yeah
it's a newer version.
You can do it with the Oculus Quest 2, though. I think you can. But you can watch fights like you're in the arena. You're looking around and you're there. So that's like a new thing that just came about. I saw him promoting it on Instagram like last week.
Wait, but is it a plug-in one? Like, I have a Mac computer, and I don't plug in. I like the Quest because, like, Matt, you know, it was wireless, which I like. Is this wireless or only for the plug-in version?
No, I think the wireless, too.
Oh, fuck.
I think it's the wireless too, but I love the whole metaverse idea. I'm a huge fan of the movie Ready Player One. Oh, have you seen Ready Player One? Probably one of the best.
I love it. I'm always talking about that movie. Jimmy goofs on me as usual. One of the boys, you look at both of us and somebody go, who do you think's like the bully? He's a bit of a bully sometimes.
I'm not a bully at all. I just have never seen.
Yeah, I bring up
the other way around.
Movies. I bring up Star Wars, the new Andor show. I love.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And he doesn't call me a. What is the word? Passive aggressive. What is the word? What do you say?
I'm supportive. That's the word. Supportive of your loves. Yes, I support his loves.
Kind of goofs on me and calls me a man child, basically.
Well, I mean, you have to be in order to keep yourself young. You know, mentally, physically, emotionally, you got to think that way. The same way.
Yeah. When does it become Wonder Man? You are. How old are you now? You are.
I'll be 40 in February. I'm 39. I'll be 40 in a few months.
You do have that. You do have that. I don't want to say that Peter Pan quality. That sounds really weird.
Yeah, it's not a good quality for a fighter. Peter Pan.
He could be Peter Pan, but a fucking. I don't know. He's very light.
Yeah. Did you see the Phil Hawes, Roman Dolidze fight? Got stopped in he stopped him in the first. His leg was very, very compromised. But I felt that everyone was like, oh, wait, Dolidze kind of backed off and let Phil Hawes back in the fight. But Dan Marie Liotta kind of fucked that fight up. And I like Dan. I think he's a great ref. But he made a mistake. Because Hawes fell backwards and you could tell his leg was very damaged. And Marigliotta ran in and actually got between them and put his hands to stop Dolidze from going in. So that's why Dolidze backed off. He didn't back off because he was showing him mercy. He backed off because I think he indicated that Marigliotta was stopping the fight and then realized that Phil Hawes could stand up and continue. It was a really weird moment.
Yeah, Dan's, you know, not the best under pressure.
I don't know exactly what happened.
Trayshawn Gore's guillotine was fucking money.
Yes.
Did you see Trayshawn Gore's guillotine on Josh Friend?
No, I heard about it. So I'm going to be honest with you. This past weekend, I wasn't able to watch the fights. I was actually in Orlando commentating some fights with Boss Rutten.
Oh, nice.
I love Boss Rutten.
He's the best. This guy should make a book about the crazy stories about him in Japan.
He's got ridiculous. A great energy about him. Great energy.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. You got to hang out with a guy. You got to hang out with him.
Did I ever hang out with him?
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. I more than once. We did this like warrior retreat thing where there's a bunch of me. It was me, Damian Maya, Boss Rutten, Babalu, a bunch of us. We did something in Canada. And then we all went out and hung out. I've seen him since, and he's just such. He's been on here with us.
He has back in the old studio.
Yeah, he's an animal.
Yeah, but I really like the guy a lot. He's just a very warm guy, and he's a badass, and he's funny. He's a funny guy.
Hilarious, man. So we dressed up for commentating. So Boss Rutten was like Beetlejuice. You know what I mean? I was like, of course, they gave us the suit, the costumes to wear, and I was like, I just had this. Napoleon Dynamite, Sensei, American Strike, flag, get up with a headband on, American glasses. So it was fun. We had a good time hanging out.
Jimmy, what are you going to be this year?
I'm probably not going to dress up. I don't go out on Halloween. The village is too crazy.
It's crazy in the city?
Yeah, I'll probably just dress up as a guy with man tits watching porn. I think that'll be my costume this year.
I like it.
Now, dude, how do people trick-or-treat in the city?
In buildings, what happens is what you'll do is you'll leave your apartment number downstairs and you put whether yes or no you have candy. So then they give a list of all the apartments in the building that are participating. And so the kids will just know to go to those apartments.
What? I always wondered how that works. So they would just go in that apartment building and just hit up the room numbers of that said yes.
Yeah, they'll get like a printout of the sheet, hey, a 10F, 10D, 11C, you know, just the ones that are saying yes. So this way you don't have to waste your time knocking on doors of people who aren't home.
Got you.
What about, was that always like a old wives' tale when they're like, oh, watch out, they're putting razor blades in Twinkies and shit?
Yeah.
I think so.
Because aren't you going to be like, all right, I got this Twinkie from this house, so I'm no Columbo, but I can plug it. Hey, razor blade lady, what are you doing? No,
I just right. listened to a podcast.
Yes,
like one of those like murder podcasts. Man, they're addicting. They're so addicting. Oh my
they
god,
are,
the guy his name is Mr. Ballin on YouTube. Mr. Ballin, B-A-L-L-E-N. The guy has the best true story crime things ever. The best stories ever. And I just listened to. You know, a story, it was like this one thing that happened. And now people are saying like, watch your candy, blah, blah, blah. But this one thing had happened where the dad tried to kill his kids. He put like cyanide in, what are those little paper, like straw candies.
Oh.
You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? Like,
yeah. The little,
those little sugar things. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like little, what are those called?
No, Jake the Mighty, not Peg, motherfucker.
Pixie sticks.
Yeah,
they're pixie sticks.
Yeah. Sorry, Jake. It's pixie sticks.
So the word got around that of the whole neighborhood, the whole city, that people were trying to kill kids by putting this stuff in, poison in the candy. But it was really the dad. He tried to kill his own kids.
Did the kids get sick and die or no?
I think one of them died. I have to go back and listen to it. I don't remember. But I think they died. But
wow.
It was all his fault. It was the dad's fault.
What a prick.
Yeah.
He probably wanted to go out and fuck someone else and end his marriage. one of those where you want to wreck the whole family so you can go out and get a new family.
Yeah. What a nut, bro.
Yeah, so I don't now Matt, are you gonna take the kids trick-or-treating? Are they all too old or is a couple of them?
No, no, listen. They're girls too. So the girls do it a little bit older, but they're like I said, 13, 11, and 9. So, yeah, they're going to go around. They're already by my in-laws. So they're over there, and then they're going to come by over here. And
got to. Me and my honey, we did it last year. We went around the neighborhood last year. And I didn't get candy until last minute, so there was no candy left. So I got, like, A1 sauce, chapsticks.
Now, do you go – wait, Wonderboy, hold on a second. Now, I know you called Wonderboy, but do you actually ring the bell and say – trick or treat by yourself, and they say, what you're doing, and you say, I'm Wonder Boy.
And so I went around with these like LED masks, right? And I had a book bag. I don't want to stay at my house. I wanted to be out because our neighborhood's packed. I mean, everybody's out, right? And you go around and look at these houses. People are having like haunted like garages. They'll open their garage up and turn into like a little haunted house. It's really cool. So I wanted to be out. I wanted to kind of see what was up with everything. So I didn't have any candy, so I just packed my book bag, my UFC book bag, full of whatever I could find, like pencils, A1 salt packets, like just, you know, just the most random stuff you can think of. And I would go around and just pass this stuff out throughout the neighborhood, you know, with my LED mask, just trying to scare some kids. So
what mask is that? What mask?
So it's an LED mask, and you can change the faces on the mask to different things. Like you can look like Jason, like Freddy. Yeah, it's like Purge, yeah. So you can change it up. It's pretty cool.
My 13-year-old did that. She has like a weird mask and she has a bat and stuff. You know, the kids have fun with that thing, you know?
They do. They love it, dude.
Maybe be a little bird.
I'm reading about, it's funny, Steven's the one Steven talked about, the cyanide case. A guy named like Ryan O'Clark, Ronald Clark O'Brien from Texas. And he poisoned his kid and a few other kids. Interesting, that was a great pull. That's probably why I went so scared on Halloween.
100%. That's what they say. That's like why everybody says check the candy, because of that one case right there.
Hey, Wonder Boy, you've been watching House of Dragon or no?
I'm done, bro. I finished it.
Me too.
I finished it.
Me
too. Are you kidding me? What'd you think?
I'm only 4 episodes in, so don't tell me what happened because I will finish it.
I'm telling you right now, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it thoroughly. And I thought it was just going to be some cash grab. And they just trying to play off the name, but because it was done by George R.R. Martin, based on the book of Ice and Fire, whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah.
He wrote about all these characters. They didn't make these characters up, just throw the Targaryen name on there and just say, oh yeah, this has something to do with Game of Thrones. This was already done. These characters were already made by George R.R. Martin.
There was the books, right? There's books.
Yes. Yeah, there's a book about this. So it's like, so it's done well. It's done really, really well. Because the
I didn't get into it at first. I didn't get into the whole Game of Thrones world at first. Yeah. And then my girlfriend, my honey, she was like, hey, we got to watch it. We finished it up. I was like, all right, we'll watch it. And I was addicted, man. Yeah. So we watched it like 2 years ago. And while House of the Dragon was going on, we went back and watched the whole Game of Thrones. Well, I didn't realize they mention the Targaryens, the characters in House of the Dragon in Game of Thrones and how, what happened to them.
They do.
They mention it in Game of Thrones. You got to go back and watch the Game of Thrones to figure out if you want to know what actually happens to everybody.
Yeah, I don't want to know, but I do know some things. Like I knew because they showed little short videos, like animated videos of like what happened to that like that last episode with the kid on the dragon. Don't say nothing, Jimmy. Oh wait, Jimmy, don't tell Jimmy. Yeah. Remember what happened with the dragons at the end? It's crazy.
Yes.
Wow. I knew that was going to happen. So it was wild. But I'm telling you, it's done so well. And I like the actors. So I like the actors a lot.
Now, is it hard, Steven, to get your girlfriend into this? This is a lot of times women don't go for this genre.
So she got me into it. She got me into it. So she watched the whole Game of Thrones. I think the first episode I watched, everybody was like, oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. And I watched the first episode. And then I was like, you know, the two brothers and sister Lannisters were like incest and they pushed the kid up. I'm like, let's do this crap. I'm not gonna watch this, man. This is
exactly. For me, and it was like watching a whole movie.
Yeah. She's like, man, you gotta watch the whole thing. It's ridiculous. And what I fell in love with it was just the whole storyline of how everybody plays against each other. So it's like three stories in one episode. You got, you know, the Lannisters, that all things going on. You got the Starks on the other side of the continent. Then you have what's your face Targaryen on another continent doing her thing. So it's like three different stories in one, and it's just crazy. The writing is what did it for me. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So now that's over. We're watching the new Lord of the Rings, which is like the most expensive TV show ever. It's like $1 billion or something like that.
Do you like it?
I'm trying. You talk about it first.
So after the first episode was like, you know what I mean? It's kind of weird. And I've always been a Lord of the Rings fan, watching Lord of the Rings. Well, just the movies. I watched The Hobbit. I never read the books, but you know, I love the movies and the whole idea around it. But it started off kind of slow. It got a little better, but it's not on the same level, I don't think, as Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon. Not on the same level.
I don't like how they bring like politics into it. Like, in other words, okay, in the Lord of the Rings, dwarves don't like elves. Oh, I don't like you.
Yeah.
I get it. In this one, ready? Oh, the elves took my job. And these elves. What the fuck? Remember what they did to us elves? Oh, they had us in chains. It's like, all right. Calm. Can we just calm? We're in a fantasy world. Can't we have fun and just fuck off? And so I don't like that. And also, what's the main chick, the main heroine?
Ethel?
Yeah, Erwin.
Jimmy, you know very well it's not Ethel. So it's not, you're just being,
I don't know.
You're being a bad boy. It's Edna. Not Edna. No. She's
Gladys.
No, but she's not yet. Gladys the fucking elf. No. But listen, anyway, Wonder Boy, the main girl, the main character, the lady, the elf, but her.
Erwin. I think her name is Erwin.
Yes. Yeah. They make her such a badass where it's like, I get it. She's tough, but she's all right, look. There's like five guards around her, and they're in like the elf thing. They're in like the dwarf fucking like dungeons, and they're talking. Then she's like, "Well, they had a little like back and forth with words." Next thing you know, she's just like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa!" She does like a three stooges to all of them, and they're all like in that cell. And she's what? Really? What are you? Liam Nielsen and fucking Aiken? Fuck off,
Liam Nielsen.
That's where that movie lost me. Is when he's like, hey, remember me? And I said I'd find you. And they had no plan. He just took out everybody.
Yeah, so it's not like realistic in the fight scenes, right? Right.
Right. So Matt, you don't like that it's the elf show. You have to suspend disbelief during the fights during the elf show.
Now, Jamie, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. You're like, oh, it's there's no such thing as elves. I get it. But I like some realism in my fantasy. You know, in other words, why not just make the elf fly? Oh, well, why? It's make believe. Why can't an elf fly? Why? Because that's silly, Jimmy. And elves don't fly. We all know that.
They don't.
But my point is, I don't know. It's kind of silly. It's just silly.
Yeah.
It's not believable even in that world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you. I got you, Matt.
But other than that, I'm going to give it another chance, though, but I'm having a hard time getting through it. I am enjoying, which is pretty cool, is 1883. It's on Paramount Plus.
Oh, yeah. So it's it's like before Yellowstone, right?
Yes.
It's like the beginning part.
That's
on the top of my list. Don't say anything. That's the top of my list. My dad's obsessed.
I love Sam Elliott as a cowboy.
Bro.
Sam Elliott doesn't get much better than Sam Elliott.
And I think any TV show with what's his face? Yellowstone, main character, or the
Tom Selleck.
No, he played Robin Hood.
Kevin Costner.
Anyway, with Kevin Costner, dude, I've always been a Kevin Costner, except for Waterworld. I only watched it because he was the main character.
Do you ever see JFK?
No, I have not. Is he awesome in that?
It's so good. He plays Jim Garrison, a prosecutor.
And I see the guys around me doing this, like approving what you're saying.
He's great. Kevin Costner's great. Fucking the cast is an incredible cast. Tommy Lee Jones, Walter Matthau, Kevin Bacon. It's such a great. Joe Pesci has a weird cameo in it.
I was gonna say, didn't you want Joe Pesci's part in that? When he
Donald
up,
Sutherland.
When Joe Pesci dresses up all in gold and he's getting spanked and they're all like, ah.
Yeah, of course I do.
There's a weird orgy thing going on in that. And
that's a J. Edgar Hoover. It's a J. Edgar Hoover comment. Yeah. It's great, dude. They go over the theories, the conspiracy theories, and they always tell you when they're speculating because it's filmed in black and white. Oliver Stone did a masterful job of that.
Wow. So is it a series? JFK. Like, are there seasons to it?
It's a movie.
Oh, wow. Okay.
This is before like streaming and everything. This was 80.
Yeah.
This is a long time ago.
What? That's stuff where you can get away with it, and back those are the days where you can get away with stuff like you don't have something that people can bring up 20 years ago or 10 years ago on Twitter and then you get in trouble for it. So back then it was like there was nothing. They had the newspapers and the news and that was it. There was no social media. You can get away with anything, I feel like.
It's true.
Yeah. Except killing the president. That one they still harp on that.
Yeah.
They'll find you.
Still upset.
They'll find you for that. So that's it. What other any other new movies you're watching? Do you see the new Black Adam movie or no? I didn't see it yet.
Yeah, I did. It was a movie to make The Rock just look like a badass.
That's it.
Which it did a really good job. Like the Black Adam parts were freaking awesome, especially in the beginning. But the storyline was the acting.
Really?
Just didn't like it. I will go back just to watch the Black Adam superhero parts. That's it.
How was the Justice Society or whatever the fucking?
The characters were pretty dope. I take that back. Hawk was awesome, and Dr. Fate was awesome. I thought he was perfect.
Pierce Bronson.
Yeah, he's awesome, man. Dude, the guy doesn't age. The only thing that looks different is that he has gray hair now. The guy does not freaking age.
Yeah, he's pretty. Yeah, Pierce Bronson.
And he was awesome.
No, they're all people are such pricks. They were all making fun of him because I think his wife got older or something. And he looks all thin, and they're like, he should leave her because she got heavy. And he's like,
what?
Jimmy, you know about this.
Do I?
Do I?
I you know what it is, I think my wife told me that, like, he sticks by his wife and she gained some weight, whatever. Maybe. And Jake the Mighty, is there anything on that? Could you look up? I'm telling you now, I didn't make this up. Maybe this is made up in my mind. that Pierce Bronson's got a fucking chubby wife?
It's not. I don't know anything about that. I like how you tossed it to me though.
Well, dude. Okay, so look at Tom Cruise. Men just we just age differently, man. Like look at Tom Cruise now, or go back and watch the first Top Gun. Right? Remember his girlfriend in the Top Gun?
Kelly McGillis, yeah.
Right. So go back and just look at their pictures now.
That's kind of
funny. She looks like it's 30 years later. But again, you never know what kind of work he had done or that she didn't want to have done. But yeah, you're right. It really.
Yeah. I saw him difference. In the new. I saw bits and pieces of the new one. I haven't watched the full yet. The full Top Gun, the recent one. The dude shredded.
He looks great.
The guy shredded.
Can I say that I'm reading here from Jake the Mighty Ginger that Pierce Bronson's wife lost 120 pounds?
Oh, let's go.
Oh,
so maybe because of the comments.
Basically, she lost Jimmy. I'm only fucking around. Hey, Jimmy, what's that? Your fucking hold on. Trimmer? Is that you?
They must be doing some work downstairs. Yeah, we have to end anyway.
Oh, wow. What a fucking abrupt ending.
Hold on.
It's all right, Jimmy. Nothing wrong with that. Yo, Jake the Mighty, why don't you kill his mic while we're talking so people don't hear?
Uh-oh.
Wait, is he there?
No, he probably left us.
All right, guys, I'm gonna sign off. They're probably doing construction upstairs or downstairs.
Holy fucking! All right, let's say goodbye. But let's, Wonder Boy, do you have anything to plug?
First off, I love hanging out with you guys, man. Matt, Jimmy, you guys are the best, man. Next time, I'm bringing my dad on. We're just gonna do an episode where I bring my dad on.
Yes.
And we're just gonna chat, okay? We're gonna shit chat. But hopefully, check out the fight, Orlando, December 3rd, main event, me versus Kevin Holland.
Yes.
Check it out, guys.
Fuck yeah.
Thank you, buddy. And I'm going to promote in the middle of all this fucking noise. New Year's Eve, Levity Live. Sorry about this, guys. I didn't know they were going to be doing it, but it scared the fuck out of me, and I spilled my drink. Matt, I'll talk to you in a couple days.
Later, Wonder Boy.
See you guys. Y'all have a good one, my friends.
Bye, buddy.
Bye, everybody. Happy Halloween.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.